I'm Rachel Underwood, and all I think about is crime. Right, Josie? Today I want to share with you information about an unsolved murder in East Tennessee. My hope is that someone will hear this podcast or be able to share this podcast with someone who could have that one detail law enforcement could use to break the case. A woman's remains were found in East Tennessee in 1996. It would be more than two decades before law enforcement would know her name. But even today, in 2024, they still don't know who killed her. And maybe that's where we can help. Those of you listening to the crime podcast, interacting on Reddit boards, sleuthing on web sleuths, or tweeting about your favorite cases or cases that interest you, maybe you can help with this case. I'm going to tell you what we know about the case so far and also share some of my questions with you. So let's get into it. On Sunday afternoon, September the 29th, 1996, two hunters discovered human remains off of Dell Road in the Powder Springs area of Granger County, Tennessee, which is just 30 miles north of Knoxville. A large cardboard box had been taped up with a woman's body inside and left about 400 feet off of this remote mountain road. In a quote to WBIR Channel 10 in Knoxville, the responding patrol deputy reported that it was a big-sized box, like a stove or refrigerator or some other appliance would come in. As is common in a case like this in a small town in Tennessee, the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation was requested to assist the Granger County Sheriff's Office in the investigation. And a forensics team from the University of Tennessee Anthropology Department also assisted at the crime scene. For those of you who may not know, UT is located in Knoxville, and they have a real-life body farm located at their Forensics Anthropology Center. It was founded by Dr. William Bass and includes a state-of-the-art scientific research facility and an outdoor research site known as the Body Farm. At the Body Farm, human remains are placed in areas and openly exposed to the elements. Some bodies are covered with plastic, some with clothing, some are naked, some are buried, some hang from scaffolding, or are in the trunk of cars so that they can be studied as they decay. This may sound disturbing or cold or disgusting, but it's for cases just like this one that this research site was created. At the Granger County crime scene, most of the remains were in the box, bones and some mummified flesh. Scattered within a range of about 50 feet of the box, anthropologists found finger bones and teeth that had most likely been moved by wildlife. The forensics exam suggested that she had been there for weeks, if not months, and that she was between 30 and 40 years old. During this time, Granger County had very few people who had gone missing or were murdered. So when this body was discovered, they initially thought it was probably a woman who had vanished in 1993 under suspicious circumstances. DNA science in the field of law enforcement and crime was only about 10 years old at this point, and still very limited. But authorities took a sample from the sibling of the 1993 missing person and sent it off for testing. Results came back months later, and the DNA did not match the missing person from 1993. So now law enforcement had to figure out who is the Granger County Jane Doe. She would be known to investigators as the woman in the box who wore green shorts. The UT Anthropology Department kept Jane Doe's remains, hoping that there would be a break in the case one day. It would be over two decades, but that is exactly what would happen. In 2018, a special agent with the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation sent a sample of Jane Doe's remains to the University of North Texas Center for Human Identification in Fort Worth. They specialize in forensics, genetics, and anthropological exams to help police solve crimes and ID the missing nationwide. A digital profile was created and uploaded into CODIS. CODIS is the Combined DNA Index System, a database of DNA that can be compared with unidentified remains to piece together enough clues and genetic similarities to make a match. So a year later, in 2019, The TBI was notified there was a match to Jane Doe's remains, but it was different than they had expected. Investigators were stunned to find out that the DNA submitted matched a woman who was alive and living in Knoxville. And remember, Knoxville is only about 30 miles from where Jane Doe was found. After a little work, law enforcement identified the woman whose DNA was already in CODIS and learned that she had a twin sister who disappeared in 1996. And that twin sister was 38-year-old Brenda Clark. A forensic scientist from the TBI worked with the University of North Texas and NamUs to further study and compare Jane Doe's sample with that of samples from her Knoxville twin and other family members. In August 2022, authorities were finally able to announce that Brenda Clark was absolutely the unidentified victim from the 1996 Granger County crime scene. It's been more than 21 months now since learning Brenda Clark's identity. And what more do we know? Well, there have been no additional news reports or press releases from law enforcement on the case. So what do we know about the victim, Brenda Clark? When she went missing in 1996, she lived in Knoxville, Tennessee. She was 38. I was only able to find one picture of her online. She was an African-American lady with a light complexion and a big, beautiful smile. From news reports, we know green shorts were found with her remains, so she could have been wearing green shorts when she left home the day she disappeared. We know she had a twin sister, and that twin sister was still in the Knoxville area when the DNA hit was made in 2022. We know she had children and that she was not married. And this is a good time to mention that I have reached out to the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation to see if they had any additional information that they could share. They welcomed my questions and responded to the ones that they could. Even though the case is almost 28 years old, it's still an open investigation and some information can't be released to the public. One of the questions I was happy that they could answer was she married? A news article had mentioned that she had kids, but there was no mention of a spouse or a love interest. The TBI did confirm that she was not married, but did have children. Another question on my list was, is there a last known location of her prior to going missing? Their response, not at this time. Next, I asked if she had friends in Granger County or if they knew if she had worked there in the past or at the time she was killed or if she had any other reason to be there, or is the theory that she was taken from Knoxville to Granger County. Their response was, these are questions agents hope to be able to answer through the investigation. And the reason I ask this is that Granger County is not necessarily a place you would go for nightlife or entertainment in 1996, or even today, really. For a 38-year-old woman from Knoxville to go to Granger County, she would most likely know someone who lives there, work there, or have been invited for some reason. Granger County borders on Knox County, and some people who live there would travel back and forth to Knoxville for work. Now, if you love nature and love the outdoors, it is a beautiful place. It's at the foothills of the Smoky Mountains, and it's surrounded by several bodies of water. There's the Cherokee Lake, the Norris Lake, and several rivers. Hunting is a really popular thing to do in this area, so people may have hunting cabins. People from other areas of the state or even other areas of the country may have a hunting lease on a piece of property there that they might visit several times throughout the year. All of that said, I just wonder why she was in Granger County and how she got there. Now, all of us who study crime know that the more that's known about a victim's life and lifestyle leading up to her murder, the greater chance there is of finding that one detail that could lead law enforcement to the killer. So again, my hope is that someone will hear this podcast and could have one detail that law enforcement could use to continue to build their encyclopedia of evidence towards finding out who is responsible for the murder of Brenda Clark in 1996. So please, please, if you know someone who may have been in Tennessee or in the Knoxville area in the spring or summer of 1996, encourage them to listen to this short podcast. Someone may have that one helpful detail, or they may have even seen the lady wearing green shorts with that beautiful smile. The TBI special agents hope the public can provide information that may help them determine what happened to Brenda Clark and who's responsible for her death. If you have information, specifically any knowledge about individuals she may have been with before her death, please call 1-800-TBI-FIND. Thanks for listening. If you have a suggestion about a case you would like to hear covered, please click the voice message link below at the bottom of this episode, or feel free to email me at allithinkaboutiscrime@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at allithinkabout5. That's the number 5. allithinkabout5, where I live tweet each Friday and Saturday night with the On Patrol Live community. Until next time, thanks for listening. I'm Rachel Underwood, and all I think about is crime.